With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Thursday. Happy Thursday to all of you.
Having a rough time with that this week. It's 3 days.
The
in
days.
A row.
Well, I'm off tomorrow, so it kind of messes. It's throwing me off kilter. I have two kids walking in graduations this weekend.
Wait, you're off tomorrow?
I'm off tomorrow. Yeah.
Who am I working with?
I have no clue. I don't know. It's not my problem.
Thanks for the update.
I thought I told you.
I don't. Maybe you did. I don't know. text these things to Brandy from now on.
Your assistant.
Yeah. He's a notoriously slow starter.
All right. We're off and running on a Thursday, people. And Seth, just so you know, I Cinco'd too hard yesterday. So
did you really?
I did.
I was wondering. I noticed that you weren't as active. Usually you'll text me during the Astros game.
Yeah.
Call it the Yankees game.
We were out to eat. I was watching it. Well, the last two games have been the Yankees games. As opposed to the Astros games. But, I drank by the pool, and then our building had a happy hour for Cinco de Mayo, and then we went out to dinner and yada, yada,
God
yada.
Bless you. You went to your building happy hour? Man, I've never done that in any of the places I've ever been.
They went balls to the wall, too. And I'm very friendly with the concierges in our building, so I always get extra drink tickets. You know what I mean? They're always like, hey, Sean, here you go.
There's something I don't know. I always get a little bit nervous about doing stuff like that. There's part of me that just doesn't want to really know the people I'm living near all that well. Especially like when you're in a building like that, it's not like you're meeting the guy that's going to be your neighbor for the next 20 years who's going to, you know, let you borrow his Allen wrenches. It's just some people, you know.
Well, Seth, I'm out there in the building doing the Lord's work, cuz let me tell you, I was by the pool yesterday and my new friend Bob, who's an older gentleman who he and his wife moved to Houston from the New York City area to be near their grandkids who live here in Houston. And I met him by the pool for the first time last week, and he saw me working. I had my laptop out, and he's like, so what do you do? And I told him what I do, and he's a big sports fan, and I told him, download the Odyssey app. And so I told him that. So I see him yesterday by the pool. I see Bob, and he goes, hey, Sean, you know, New York accent, great dude. He goes, Sean, great show today. And I said, thanks. He goes, tell your co-host to ease up a little bit on the Yankees, though.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Yankees won't survive a thrashing from me.
Right.
That's the Yankees, who managed to do just fine for centuries. They'll be all right.
So I say all that to say that I'm socializing.
Did he want me to ease off on the Yankees or the city of New York? Because your new buddy Bob is one of the many people I reference who's fleeing the city of New York.
Yeah. He said Yankees, so I'm going to take him at his word. So
Tell Bob that he loses all right to defend the city he's fleeing. Okay,
all right, you got it. I'll let him know. I'll let him know. And I I told him, I said, I'll let you tell Seth that because he's much bigger than me is what I told him. So,
yeah.
So anyways.
Well, everybody in New York's a hero as long as, you know, they're separated by 20 rows of seats and the law.
Right.
They'll say whatever they want to a 5'5" Venezuelan dude.
How are we feeling about the game today? This is kind of all of a sudden today's game is sort of a big regular season game, right? For May 6th, this feels like a big game today.
This is the biggest May 6th since
ever.
Whatever happened 2 days after the battle in Mexico.
Right.
This is, well, 1 day after the battle in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal, except that everything that's happened so far isn't anything that we didn't know about, particularly last night. Well, hey, by the way, you can't trust your relievers. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Especially when, by the way, Giancarlo Stanton he's hit 24 of his last 48 appearances.
He's hitting 500 in his last 48 appearances at the plate.
That dude is a freak, man.
Do you want to say what you said to me off the air right now?
I'm saying he's a physical freak. That is a specimen right there. It is, like, usually I don't get into the whole, this guy's intimidating, you know, because of his size or stature or anything. I got to think when you're a pitcher and you're looking at Giancarlo Stanton, and he's 23 of his last 47, that maybe, or if you're Luis Garcia trying to pitch in the middle of a monsoon in Yankee Stadium for the first time, that after you've had a little bit of diciness, it's got to be a little bit intimidating facing Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, he's got like 5 or 6 hits, it feels like, over the last 2 days. I don't know what the other 18 hits or so looked like before this series.
Yeah.
I just know that he's getting his money's worth on the ones. Like, these ain't cheapies that he's getting right now. Like, he is smoking the ball. He is hitting the ball. He's hitting the ball hard. And I know, Seth, I heard you before the show. Basically, what you were saying before the show is, you suspect, Stanton.
Yeah.
You suspect.
All I'm saying is he's got a freakishly developed physique. That's all I'm saying. It's either great genetics and work ethic,
or
perhaps a little bit of extra assistance. That's all I was saying. I wasn't accusing him of anything.
It's true.
I'm saying, what the hell?
Right.
When you're way far out on the bell curve like that, it invites suspicion.
He is a freak. He is a freak. So not only is it a big game today, just in terms of, hey, the Astros need to win one of these three, you know, just for pride's sake, if nothing else, but McCullers versus Cole. I like that. McCullers, the red ass of Lance McCullers versus the turncoat Garrett
versus
Cole.
Versus the porn stash of Garrett Cole.
That's right.
What's the deal on the facial hair with the Astros, or with the Yankees? So when did they lose? Have they always allowed mustaches?
Oh, no. They used to have to shave everything.
There used to be zero facial hair, right. But now all of a sudden, was there an announcement or a press release or anything?
Because
both Garrett Cole and that dumpy bastard Mike Ford, who's definitely not on steroids, they both have weird mustaches.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're not guys that look like they should have mustaches either. They're almost like, they look like they're dyed blonde or something.
Yeah, no, I have not been keeping up with the Yankees facial hair situation.
Ask Bob.
I will. When I go to the pool today and I see Bob, I'll ask him.
Ask Bob about what the mustache rule is.
I won't even need to because he's listening right now, and he'll say, hey, Sean, tell Seth that here's the situation with the Yankees facial hair, all right? So are you Googling Yankees facial hair right now? You have that Google look on your face right now.
The mustaches, however, are permitted as an exception.
Okay.
And I wonder if maybe mustaches have always been allowed. It's just that for so long people didn't wear mustaches until people started wearing them ironically. And now that so first baseman Luke Voit said his teammates grow mustaches when trying to break out of slumps.
Yeah.
Has Garrett Cole had a rough go of it as of late?
No, he's actually – the Yankees have been, you know, kind of average this year, but he's been very, very good.
This is what I thought, because remember Don Mattingly and both Reggie Jackson both had mustaches.
Yeah,
I think it's always been no non-mustache facial hair, and it's just that solo mustaches fell out of favor for a long, long time, mostly because of their association with child molesters.
Right.
But apparently the Yankees aren't afraid of that, that potential attachment.
Right.
Good job, Yankees.
Yeah,
set an example for America.
I guess
personally,
not.
I'm against child predators.
Right.
I don't know about the Yankees or Bob or anybody else, but I'm against them. Okay.
Yes.
Yankees can do whatever they want. Look, you do you. You do you, Yankees. Personally, right. I'm going to take a stance against child predators.
There you go. There you go. And Seth Payne at 6:08 in the morning taking a stand.
I'm also against predators who are children, too, but that's a whole other topic.
Sure. Yeah. No,
that's a whole Lord of the Flies
that's
thing
heavy
going on
for,
there.
For 6:08 in the morning. Absolutely. Yeah. So we're off and running here on a Thursday. The Astros lose last night 6-3. Astros lose last night. Rockets lose last night, and still no movement on the Deshaun Watson front. So this is where we are right now. We are 2 weeks of silence on the Deshaun Watson front as well.
All we can really do at this point is body shame the Yankees as much as possible.
Yeah.
Both Mike Ford for his dumpy softball appearance, and Giancarlo Stanton, who is much like The Rock, just a little too chiseled for my liking, a little too veiny. You know, we're just going to go ahead and I'll go ahead and make fun of you for your immaculate physique.
That's what we
do.
The
only way I can feel better about
this
myself.
On this show, we body shame the people for being a little too perfect with their physique.
Sorry, Giancarlos. You know what? Maybe I like to spend my time doing charity work with children.
Right.
You go ahead and work out. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. You care about you. Yeah. That's all. You know, could I have a body like Giancarlo Stanton?
Yep.
Maybe if I cared a little bit less about children. And we already know how the Yankees feel about children. That's been well established.
Yeah, you're right. 2 minutes ago, that was established. Yeah. Absolutely. Someone texting Goose Gossage, all pro stash. That's true. Yeah, Goose Gossage. Yeah. He had a Fu Manchu to die for. All right. We're off and running here on a Thursday. 713-572-4610. That's your number to text or call the show. Up next, here's what a coach who gets a Deshaun Watson consolation prize sounds like. That's next. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule is the, of course, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, former Baylor head coach. They made a trade for Sam Darnold in the offseason. They were, though, one of the teams that was reportedly very, very hungry to get Deshaun Watson before all the lawsuits started flying. Their owner, all the way up to the owner, Dave Tepper, wanted Deshaun Watson reportedly as the quarterback for their football team. Instead, they trade a sixth-round pick this year and a second and a fourth next year for Sam Darnold, who was a colossal failure for the New York Jets, hoping that maybe they can capture some lightning in a bottle with him. Here is what a head coach sounds like that's trying to talk himself into Sam Darnold after missing out on Deshaun Watson.
I think the thing is that after getting him here, I've had so many people who either coached him or played with him who have such positive things to say about them. So I'm really confident that his mind's in the right place. And I think the biggest thing is like, you know, if we're going to judge quarterbacks overall at the age of 23, then you know, there's a lot of great quarterbacks we'd miss on, you know. And so, you know, the best quarterbacks playing the game right now are, you know, they're in their 30s and in their 40s. And so we're just going to try to do the best we can to help him get better. But we also understand for us this is a team game. You know, we want to make sure Christian McCaffrey has a great year, and DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson and Taylor Moton and Matt Paradis and Ian Thomas. I mean, when all the pieces on offense are playing well, then I think Sam will just join in the group and will play well as a total offense.
All right, so that's Matt Rhule. That's courtesy of the Zach Yelb Show on CBS Sports Radio earlier this week. Seth, I get what he's trying to say. Like, look, Darnold is on their team, so he's not going to go rip a guy who's never practiced for the team yet. That's what Matt Rhule is supposed to say. I'm trying to think of these older quarterbacks that Matt Rhule is referencing that were as bad as Sam Darnold was at the age of 23.
And they're really isn't a precedent for it. I mean, there are guys who are late bloomers or what have you, but Darnold was so bad with the Jets that it's hard to just say, well, he was in a bad situation. Because we've seen other young quarterbacks in bad situations. Like Peyton Manning would come to mind his rookie year, where Peyton Manning wasn't good, but he did some really good things.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, you know, Peyton Manning's issue as a younger player, and a lot of quarterbacks who develop into great players, especially in the old days, their issues would be the mistakes they make, the consistency with which they did the good things, but they also did good things. Whereas Sam Darnold, it's a throw across his body here or a bomb there. You know, he's made some nice plays, but overall the body of work has been really bad. The thing that would make me nervous if I were a Panthers fan is that you've got two relative newcomers to the NFL in Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, and Matt Rhule, the head coach. You know, and Brady spent his time with the Saints, but still not a ton of experience. There's that tendency of newcomers sometimes to think they know more than they do about what can revolutionize the game. Because there's some, I mean, a lot of times they do have good ideas, but some of the ideas just flat out aren't going to work because they haven't learned the hard lessons yet. And you see this in every walk of life. Like anybody listening right now that's been in their job for 15 or 20 years has seen the bright young kids come in who have all kinds of fantastic ideas. And maybe some of them are really good revolutionary ideas, but some of them just flat out don't work. They're not going to work. And I wonder how many older offensive coordinators or head coaches around the league right now are looking at the Panthers and saying, yeah, I get what you're doing, but don't think it's hubris. You know, don't think that you guys are so much better than the Jets coaches that somehow you're going to be the ones that turn Sam Darnold into something that he wasn't. Especially when you consider that, all right, if Ryan Tannehill is your example, like, okay, here's this guy that turned it around, was a completely different guy in his second half of his career with a new setting. Remember that Ryan Tannehill played good, competent football. It was like Ryan Tannehill before his injuries was looking like the guy that was right below, you know, being a different type of Andy Dalton,
Seth,
right? Like
Seth,
that you could win with him.
He got a second contract.
Yeah,
Darnold,
yeah.
Darnold got traded. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like that's
so. And Adam Gase was, you know, he did some good things with Adam Gase.
Yeah.
So it's not like Adam Gase is so incompetent that, you know, he couldn't get anything out of Sam Darnold. But that's also what makes me wonder just how genuinely committed the Panthers would be to Sam Darnold. I frankly just don't. They shouldn't, even though they spent capital on getting him, and that would be the mistake. There's nothing about Sam Darnold that should prevent them from doing anything with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I guess the issue for the Panthers would be that if Darnold doesn't work out and they go after Deshaun Watson, it's going to cost them a first round pick and more. They've already traded their second and their fourth next year. If they try to make a trade for Deshaun, I mean, they've really kind of painted themselves into a corner for a team that wanted Deshaun Watson really, really badly, reportedly. They've put themselves in a spot where if Darnold doesn't work out, they're not going to be able to put a package together without literally almost not drafting in 2022. Like, they've traded a 2 and a 4 already. They would definitely have to give up their 1 in a trade for Deshaun Watson. So they would be, they you know what they would need, Seth? They would need to call up some Texan fans for a little bit of therapy to find out what it's like to have a third round pick and then not pick again till the fifth round, because that's what the Texans were doing over the weekend.
Right. They'd have to trade away, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, which again, running backs just aren't worth what they used to be, especially ones that are injury prone.
Yep.
And have tread on their tire.
Yeah.
The receivers, it doesn't make any sense. So I think the Panthers are out.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. When it comes to Deshaun, Zach Gelb asked Matt Rhule about Aaron Rodgers, and I think if they're out on Deshaun Watson, I think it's going to be awfully tough to get Aaron Rodgers. I wonder if this is how the offseason is going to go for a bunch of teams that need quarterbacks. He asked him, "Would you be in the market for Aaron Rodgers?"
First of all, you know me well enough to know I'm not going to answer hypotheticals.
And I got to try.
And second of all, you know, we feel, like I said, we feel really, really good about Sam. And we're, let me say this, we feel really good about P.J. Walker and we feel really good about Will Greer. I mean, we think we have three young quarterbacks. You know, Will was drafted in the third round. He played a little bit 2 years ago and is waiting for his chance. P.J. went out there last year in his only start and won the game for us 20-0 against the Lions. So, we feel healthy. We feel like we have a really healthy room, and we should have great competition. But excited about Sam and ready to go.
He was basically asking Matt Rhule to tamper.
Yeah, please. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. It's not a hypothetical. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to get baited into getting fined for tampering.
Right.
Thanks, Zach Gelb.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Which Gelb, I think Gelb knows that. He's just trying to get some kind of a reaction
out of
him, of
course,
a meaningful response.
Yeah.
That would actually be sometimes the tampering stuff, like when Daryl Morey got hit for tampering, that was dumb.
Yeah.
Sometimes the tampering stuff is way over the top in terms of how restrictive it is. Like a GM or a coach basically can't even express admiration for another player in the league without somebody accusing him of tampering. In a situation like this, that would be like dumping fuel on the fire if you said, oh, yeah, hell yeah, we'd love Aaron Rodgers.
Right, yeah.
He's a great player.
Right after you were talking about how awesome Sam Darnold is 5 minutes ago. All right. The Texans drafted Davis Mills in the third round. Will he succeed? Recent history, not kind. I did my homework assignment. I've got the results. Next. All right, Seth, you gathered this little list yesterday. We went through it late in the show, and I did my homework assignment last night that I promised I would do.
Which, I don't know if I trust your data.
Why?
Because I just learned that you were drinking out by the pool all afternoon.
Well, it's all just transcribed directly from Pro Football Reference. You're saying I might have fat-fingered a thing or two on this?
Yeah. Either that or you might have lost your ethical bearings, too. Sometimes when you're drunk, you know, you make decisions.
Well,
maybe you're younger today, you would have, you know, hooked up with a girl you shouldn't have hooked up with.
Yeah.
Where these days it turns into like, oh, I got really drunk last night and doctored some stats. But big mistake.
Can I just tell
Luckily, I was wearing a condom.
You know, can I just tell you, I don't know if you've ever seen what the formula is to calculate passer rating in the NFL. Like, it's super complex.
Yeah.
Go look at the Google spreadsheet. Guess who put that formula into a cell and then copied it at the very end? I programmed a Google spreadsheet while drinking by the pool to calculate passer rating. And you know what? It lined up. It was correct. I cross-referenced it with Pro Football Reference. And here, for those wondering what it is I'm talking about here, Seth pulled the list. Seth pulled the list yesterday of quarterbacks who have been drafted in the third round since Russell Wilson in 2012. Since Russell Wilson in 2012, there have been
the standard, basically, for, hey, he could be Russell Wilson.
He's the Tom Brady of the third round. Like, anytime some quarterback gets drafted in the sixth round, like, well, do you remember pick 199 back in 2000?
To be fair, Joe Montana is the Tom Brady of the third round, but it's a different era, so when you're talking about the draft and everything, we'll go with Russell Wilson for now.
Russell Wilson is the one that gets brought up in modern times as far as a current quarterback who is drafted in the third round. Like, hey, could he be the next Russell Wilson? The problem is that for every Russell Wilson in the last decade, there are eight of these names, and here we go. These are the eight quarterbacks who've been drafted in the third round since Russell Wilson in 2012. 2013, Mike Glennon.
Scarlett Ibis.
2015, Garrett Grayson.
Definitely. I like Garrett Grayson because Grayson is such a classic Gen Z name, but that's his last name.
Yeah.
So his whole family has been Gen Z for generations.
For years and years, yeah. 2016, Cody Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
2016, Jacoby Brissett. Who is,
noted Texans killer.
Yeah, he's like the Johnny Unitas of this group.
Yes, yeah.
2017, C.J. Beathard.
Yeah.
2017, Davis Webb.
A man who yesterday I confused with Joe Webb. But yes,
Davis
Webb.
Oh, that's who you were confusing him with. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, our listeners were on that. I was like, wait a second, wasn't he on the Texans? I said, no, Seth, Joe Webb.
Joe Webb, yeah.
You just look pretty.
Yeah. 2018, Mason Rudolph.
He might supplant one Ben Roethlisberger.
Perhaps you've heard of him. Hmm? 2019, Will Greer. So, Seth, I went and did the homework, and I said, you know, as we were going through these pathetic names yesterday, I got to go see what their record was as starting quarterbacks, what their passer rating was, basically what were their stats. This group of quarterbacks, the group of quarterbacks drafted in the third round since 2012, the combined record as a starter, 30-70. They have started 100 games collectively, and they have won 30% of those games.
So these are the 2013 Astros, basically.
Basically, yes.
August. The August 2013 Astros.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, they're the equivalent of what?
Like they haven't lost 100 games
yet. They're the equivalent of like a 4-12 football team, right? I mean, that's 5-11, something like that. You got a bunch of 5-11. Now, Deshaun Watson was the quarterback of a 4-12 football team last year, and he was pretty good. But I don't see any of these guys. I don't see Davis Webb turning into the next Deshaun Watson. So this is for all you saying that we're pumping sunshine about Davis Webb. Just know that we are bringing up the reality that drafting a quarterback in the third round has been a fool's endeavor the last decade or so.
But I guess the big question would be, and because look, the composite. I mean, I would guess if you go through first round quarterbacks, they're going to have a losing record because most of them don't work out.
Right.
You know, you're still rolling the dice if you get a top five selection at quarterback. Looking at you, Jacksonville Jaguars. So the best record individually, if you look at any of those guys, is by far Mason Rudolph, who was 5-4 this year with the Steelers, and also had one of the best defenses in the league on the other side of him.
Yeah, 2 years ago he was 5-4. That was
two years ago.
That was when they went 8-8, and it was largely because of their defense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and he threw 15 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. So I guess Mason Rudolph still, I don't think anybody in Pittsburgh thinks he's the long-term answer, but I think there are some that think he's actually more of a threat right now than Ben Roethlisberger. But other than that, there's not a single one of them that has a winning record.
If Davis Mills is any of these guys, then it's a failed draft pick, I think. Like if he's any of these guys,
that's where it gets dicey. Is it a failed draft pick? I mean, Nick Caserio knows the odds and the chances. Yeah. It's a play on upside, and I think that a lot of GMs out there, they all know the relative unlikelihood that a third-round quarterback is going to work out. But if you see upside, you say, okay, well, you know what? We gotta take a chance on this because it's so hard to find a quarterback. And Caserio gets and knows all that. So even if it doesn't work out, but at the very least he shows some flashes or promise of the upside, I would at least respect the process. If he's an abject failure and disaster, then I would say it was a failed draft pick.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't even say failed like I'm blaming him or something like that. You've pointed it out. A lot of these picks fail. You know, it's part of the deal.
Cody Kessler, 2-10.
Yeah.
With the Browns, to be fair.
Yeah, with the Browns when they were back when they were the Browns, you know, not like this weird version where they're actually good and drafting well and doing smart things.
I'm still like not this sure version. If they're really good or if it was just like somebody that went and got a bunch of plastic surgery in Brazil.
Jadeveon Clowney is plastic surgery in Brazil.
What are our kids going to look like? I don't want to be surprised with some goblins.
Right.
Let me see your high school pictures.
You looked at her? Have you looked at Cleveland Browns? She's hot now. She went and got a clowny. She's kind of smoking now. 713-572-4610 if you want to get it. People still weighing in on Yankee facial hair. You guys are a bit younger, but go check out former catcher Thurman Munson. Yeah, he had facial. We got it. The Yankees they allow facial.
I know Thurman Munson because I was I got my pilot's license at one point, and every single person that I told I was getting my pilot's license brought up Thurman Munson.
Did they really?
You think that's a good idea, Seth? Yeah. Not every.
That's a little
person.
Macabre. It's
Well, I mean, it's a threat. It's a risk when you're flying your own airplane.
Yeah.
There's a chance you might die.
Did you?
So Thurman Munson, for those of you who don't know, was flying a jet.
Yeah,
I think it was a Learjet. It was an actual jet.
Yeah,
and crashed it, which was tragic. Obviously,
fun fact: I was in a ballpark the day that he died. I was in Shea Stadium at a ball game the day that Thurman Munson died. They threw it up on the scoreboard up there, and the place went deathly silent. It was,
yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. It's not the news you expect to hear.
No,
it was in season.
Yes.
Oh yeah, he's a pitch. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. It was during the season. It was. It was a doubleheader between the Mets and the Phillies.
He was. It was in August of 1979. He'd been flying airplanes for over a year, and he purchased a Cessna Citation jet, which is like it's not some simple thing to fly a jet. And he'd only been flying over a year. They've come a long way since then on like just training people and checking them out and everything, especially when you're trying to fly a jet.
I hope so. Yeah. Text message, what type of team is drafting a QB in the third round? Probably not very good ones. I don't know about that. If we look at the teams that were drafting these quarterbacks right here, you know, how many of these teams were looking for the next big thing? I mean, New England's drafting Jacoby Brissett. You know, Pittsburgh's drafting Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, since 2008, it's the Patriots have drafted the most quarterbacks in the third round.
Yeah.
The 49ers are the ones that drafted C.J. Beathard. The Seahawks drafted Russell Wilson. He's worked out okay for them,
right?
At least until this offseason drama.
New Orleans drafted Garrett Grayson. That's a good football team.
There's actually a better chance of a good team drafting a third rounder than a good team drafting a first rounder.
No doubt.
Because a lot of times they're just either trying to find a backup or just in case my guy goes all Aaron Rodgers on us, then perhaps we'll have somebody there. And I think there's just a philosophy with some GMs have the philosophy like the Green Bay Packers do, where you should just always be drafting quarterbacks because they're the most valuable position on a football field. So you just always, if you see a good opportunity and you think you have good value, draft that quarterback.
Yeah. Text message. I like imagining commercial pilot Seth. LOL.
Yeah.
What kind of commercial pilot would you be?
I wouldn't take no guff from nobody. If there's a hard landing, look, that's the atmospheric conditions. You go ahead and blame God if you got an issue with God, but don't blame me. You got it? I'm going to be standing here. All right, look, listen, everybody. It was a rough landing. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be standing up here saying goodbye to you, and you got an issue with that landing. Just go ahead and talk to me right now. We can take it out to the jetway.
That's the part I'm picturing. I'm picturing you standing in the doorway with your short sleeve button down shirt with a tie, glaring at people on the way out. and it's not even people, like, people don't even have an issue, but you're just assuming they have an issue with you because it was a rough landing.
Because the landing wasn't up to my standards. Like, they might not have even noticed that it was a rough landing.
Right.
You know what? I'll tell you one thing. I fly enough, or at least I had been before the pandemic, where I hardly ever noticed, like, a rough takeoff or a landing because I just kind of zoned out in my own world. And, like, cause sometimes we'd land and I'd look around and I'd see people, like, white-knuckling the armrests and everything. I'm like, oh, it must have been a rough landing. But now that the last couple times I've flown since the pandemic hit, I've gotten a little freaked out by some of the landings. Like,
why?
Now I pay attention. Cause we had kind of a rough one in a crosswind where the plane just righted itself at the last moment. It landed on one wheel and I just, because I was actually paying attention to it, and I hadn't been paying attention for the longest time. So I just—it's like getting on a roller coaster for the first time in 10 years.
Have you ever been? And maybe what you just described fits this category. Have you ever been on a flight where you've been legitimately, like, scared that this is going down right now?
No, only when I was flying the plane. I remember I was like at 10,000 feet in a little Cessna, and I did something that caused the engine to stall and to die. And there was just a moment where you're like, 10,000 feet is really high up in a little light airplane. Like, you got plenty of time.
It's high up in anything.
You got plenty of time to float your way down to, at the very least, a nice field, but probably even a nearby airport. But yeah, that last, like, for like 2 seconds, I kind of,
dude.
But this is it. At the same time,
this is how it ends.
Appreciating the quiet. It was kind of nice and floating along.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I couldn't do that.
No. When we were with the Texans, the first year in 2002, we had such an expansion year. Like, so many things where they were ironing the kinks out, and it felt like it's not like they'd hired a budget airline or anything. We were flying one of the major airlines for our charters. But we had, like, I want to say we had 3 mishaps while flying on road trips, which is, you know, you only take 11 road trips that year because we had one extra preseason game for the Hall of Fame game. But the one that we were taken off and one of the engines died, like, right after the nose of the plane had come up. And that was kind of freaky because the plane jerks to one side, then it gets righted, then you come back down. There's another time we were all loaded up on the plane. There was some kind of issue, so we had to switch planes. So we just all got off the plane. I want to say it was in Nashville, and just sat on the runway, like, with our bags and suitcases and everything, waiting for another plane to come up, and then we all boarded on the outside. That was kind of cool because we were just you're out on the runway at an airport on one of the, it was weird. We had some weird
moments. Yeah, that's wild. All in the same year. Text message, Aaron Rodgers, this is talking about drafting quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers complains that the Packers keep drafting QB. Okay, let me stop there. He's complaining about them drafting one quarterback, Jordan Love.
Well, trading up to get Jordan Love.
Right. So Aaron Rodgers, but I guess the point is Aaron Rodgers is complaining about them drafting a quarterback, but I'd like to know how many full seasons he's actually played. I'll tell you, most of his seasons, he's played 15 games or more. He became the starter in 2008. So that's one. That's how many seasons? That's 13 seasons.
Yeah,
he's played 15 or 16 games in 11 of those 13 years. Like he had two.
Yeah, is there a perception that he's injured?
With this texture, there is.
Oh, okay.
He played 7 games in 2017. That was the year I think he broke a collarbone, and then in 2013 he played 9 games. But other than that, he's played 15 or 16 games every single year of his career. So he's durable. He's healthy. The last three, most importantly, the last 3 seasons, 16, 16, 16. He started every game.
Maybe that guy's making a sarcastic point, though, that, like, it's, There is part of me. I understand always drafting a quarterback. I advocate for it. But there is also that side of me that says, all right, one of the theories is, hey, if the guy, if you don't need him as your starter, then you can trade him away for draft capital or what have you. That's not so simple or easy either. I mean, it's not like, I'm trying to think. Ryan Mallett got taken in the third round. He ended up getting traded for a conditional sixth
right.
to the Texans. You know, Mike Glennon may have gotten traded for something substantial. I'm not sure if it was a third.
I think
or
he
not.
Left in free agency, I'm pretty
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Garrett Grayson, Cody Kessler, Jacoby Brissett got some compensation.
Yep.
But the guys before that didn't. So I would say it's still dicey if you're banking on trading that guy away for more draft capital. Like they, well, even, well, Garoppolo, let's see, he got drafted in the second and they accepted a second. There was a higher second round pick. So right. I guess they made out a little bit on him.
Yeah. Although I think people assumed that they were going to get more for Jimmy Garoppolo. I remember that trade going, that's all they got for Garoppolo. You know,
it was a little bit of a forced sale. It seems, I mean, a lot of the conjecture is that Brady wanted Garoppolo out, that yeah. Kraft forced, these are the various things I've heard about that trade or that have been printed.
Yep.
One, and maybe they're two, maybe they're not. Brady wanted him out, so they had to get him out. Kraft wanted to appease Brady, so Brady told Belichick he had to do it. Another part of the story is that Garoppolo and his agent said, listen, there ain't no way in hell I'm showing up if you guys franchise tag me. I need a chance to be a starting quarterback. So all of those things might be true, but all of them also led to Belichick probably getting less for Garoppolo than if he had waited perhaps until – and this is where I think that the Brady dynamic had something to do with it. If they'd waited until the draft the next year, they probably could have gotten a first rounder.
Yes, I agree.
For maybe a player or another pick or something for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what 49ers ended up paying him. They paid him like a starting quarterback in the league. You know, like they were, I think there were a lot of people that were willing to give up a lot for Garoppolo.
He was the highest paid quarterback at one point. He you know, for a week or something like that.
That, by the way, when C.J. Beathard was drafted in the third round, in 2017, at that point, the quarterbacks on the roster for the 49ers were one Brian Hoyer.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the other one? Oh, it was a nondescript dude. We just read about this last week. Anyway, yeah. It was nobody of consequence. And they ended up trading for Garoppolo that season.
Yep.
Because obviously C.J. Beathard didn't turn into some young
phenom. In season they traded for him. Text message, what did we pay for Schaub? What did we give up in the Schaub trade? The Texans traded two twos for Matt Schaub. And I would say that was a good trade for the Texans.
Yeah.
You know?
And he was originally a third-round pick. Oh, yeah, but good call for a guy that was worth, you know, the Falcons took Schaub in the third round.
Yep.
It was a really, really good point by the texter.
Yep.
Took Schaub in the third round, ended up getting rid of him for two twos.
Yep.
That's not bad at all.
And I think it was a good trade for both teams. The text page is fascinated with Seth the pilot right now. That seems to be the big topic. Can Seth even stand up straight in an airplane cabin?
Well, not in one of those small airplanes, but nobody can.
Right.
You know how rich you have to afford an airplane in which you can stand comfortably? Those are expensive hunks of steel right
yes,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would not be flying that hunk of steel. I was a pretty good pilot when it came to the actual physical skills of piloting. But my issue, as many of you might guess, would be on the absent-mindedness side of things.
Mm.
And one profession where it really doesn't pay to be absent-minded, a pilot, I would say maybe like firefighter, several others, those kinds of things. Those are the whole, like, oh, firefighter, I forgot. Turns out I forgot to connect the hose. But here we are, fellas, right in the burning building. Pilot, I 100% would have had a belly landing at some point where I would have forgot to put my landing gear down. So I just said, you know what? I got into this whole flying thing because I wanted to be independent and do my own thing. So it's not like I want to have to have a co-pilot every time I fly. So I'm just gonna hang up my logbook.
There you go.
There it sits with like 150 hours in a Cessna 172.
Couple people asking, did you ever get that engine back on before landing?
Yeah, I did. It was really something. So, like, I was trying to lean out the fuel mixture or something, and just went a little too far. So it wasn't like I knew exactly what had happened when the engine failed. It still kind of freaks you out.
Still poop yourself. Yeah.
You're up there, Sean. They let you start solo flying. when you don't have much experience in an airplane,
yeah.
I think it's like maybe I was at 30 hours or so. Maybe it's like I can't even remember how many hours you have the first time you solo and go out on your own. And then stuff like that happens. And even though you know it's a classic, you know in the book what to do, but it's a whole lot different when you're in a tiny airplane 10,000 feet in the air and there's no engine. It freaks you out a little bit.
I'm still just picturing you glaring at passengers getting off a plane, commercial pilot set.
I would. I'd probably have complaints.
It's just someone saying kindly to you, "Have a nice day," and you being like, "Yeah, you have a nice day." All
right. No, I'm joking about that. I think I'd be a very polite pilot.
I think you would probably, too.
I'll tell you one thing: I would do. I'd treat the flight attendants with respect.
Of course,
you wouldn't be reading about complaints about sexual harassment or anything. I'd be terrified and paranoid. To the point where I'd probably end up getting, nabbed for. I do one of those things where I'm trying so hard not to make awkward comments that I end up making an awkward comment.
That is where your absent-mindedness would show up again.
Just so you know, I'm not looking at your breasts at all because I respect you as a person, even though with my peripheral vision I can see that they're pretty big. But I respect you. Stupid thing like
gotcha,
that.
Gotcha.
Just like last month in the studio.
Yeah, exactly. We won't talk about that. Okay, so today, noon, a WrestleMania main event type Clash of the Titans. We get an awesome May 6th baseball matchup. Is this a must win in May? Yes, in 162 game season, is this a must win for the Astros today? Next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.